time to say very good morning to Peter Allam with our Legal Eagle insert for today. Peter, very good morning. Welcome.
Yes, morning, Wayne. Welcome to all our listeners out there. I know we have quite a few that listen, stream it and listen. So welcome, everybody, today. A very nice subject, a subject requested by an anonymous post to yourselves. And I think I'm going to read that question because it's very nice. It's looking for some advice, the person said. How does an elderly person go about obtaining life rights on a granny flat that they paid for when living with adult children? Is it as simple as an affidavit between the parent and adult child, or does it have to be done by a lawyer? Mm. Has anyone had any experience with this type of situation? Maybe something to look at as a topic. Thank you, whoever the listener may be, the anonymous one. No need to have been anonymous because it's a very, very good query and something that, yes, we can work on. So let us start by saying, is it just a simple affidavit? Yes, a simple affidavit can help. So, you know, if you're somewhere and you do go to the South African Police Services or to an attorney and have it done correctly, that is good enough. It will hold so long as the terms and condition are contained in there. But, you know, it depends on what you're going to spend on the home. There are a number of different scenarios. You get the normal one where there is a garage that's converted into a granny flat, or you get one where there's an existing granny flat that used to be rented out and now the parents come to live there. You get a scenario where they buy a plot and build two homes on the land. You get a scenario where they build a granny flat into the back independently. So all of these have got different costs. So my first advice to all is have a look at what you're going to spend on it. What you spend on it is going to be your guideline as to what to do. When I say what to do, my advice to everyone is don't play with something like that. Go and see an attorney. Let him wrap it up correctly for you. You know, when you invite your elderly, what I see every day here at the office is that when children invite their elderly parents to come and stay with them, it's all, oh, fussy, fussy, make mommy and daddy happy so that granny and grandpa are living in the back and the kids are happy and, you know, the brothers and sisters are all happy because the parents are going to be looked after. But when things go wrong, then there's a major problem. What can go wrong? A fight between parents and the kids, a divorce, a major problem. If the children that have invited in there get divorced, then all of a sudden there's a, you know, get up and move on type of thing. So, you know, those are just but a few of the problems. You need to really, really be cautious. So let's go back and visit an attorney is my advice to everybody. You know, that will give you a proper agreement. How do you put into agreement? You know, an attorney will sit and listen to you, and if he's experienced enough, he will have a look at the different options. I mean, I can tell you now that I've done the following, you know, over a period of time. I've done one where we built it into the will of the parents. In other words, you do the will for the parents, and then they put into their clause to say that my daughter X has already received a part of her inheritance by way of the contribution of Rand X to the granny flat or property built on her property, and that must be deducted from her amount due at the end of the day. So that amount is taken into account in that way. Alternatively, you can do it by way of a proper agreement between the parties, a memorandum of agreement, which is probably the nicest way, signed by both parties, binding. Some people have done it by way of a bond. I've had people who have come in here and said, I'm going to put $200,000 into the house. I want a bond on that property so that I can never be thrown out. That can be done. And then, of course, it can be done by way of a loan as well. A lot of people come in here and they say, okay, I'm going to loan Rand X to my children to build a granny flat, and I expect them to pay me back because the value of the home will remain theirs. So, you know, those are just, for example, four different ways: a bond, an acknowledgement of debt, a proper written agreement, or an allocation in a will. Mm. So, you know, those are points that can be taken into account.
Right.
So we get back, Wayne, to the question from the listener to say, what I think she's really asking is, when a granny flat goes wrong, what is the problem?
Mm.
So if you don't have anything in writing or the agreement that we've been talking about, a granny flat agreement is merely an informal arrangement between a parent and their adult child. So, you know, the parent contributes to the funds to create the granny flat by modifying the house, as I mentioned, or by buying a suitable property in the name of the children with a granny flat, or by converting the garage, or by adding another portion to the home type of thing. So, you know, they agree to give lifetime rights.
Mm.
But what is a lifetime right on something like that?
Yeah.
Because there's nothing on, you know, there's nothing legal binding about it. If I decide in a month's time that I don't like my parents living with me, or my husband doesn't like his in-laws being on site that day, you know, what happens is that you find them getting bossy in the house, or you find that they don't get on together, or they're trying to discipline the children the way they discipline their own children and that type of thing. So there are all those type of problems that can come into the picture. So, you know, the law is such that the only chance, unfortunately, there is a dispute by going to court, which is costly. Yes, you might find that the parents, because they're elderly, might qualify for legal aid or something like that, which is state-assisted funding. So that might be a avenue to take, but it's something you can't go to the small claims court with. It's something that you can't just go to arbitration or mediation with unless it's specifically included in the agreement that you need. So an attorney would put into the agreement the different options regarding a dispute. What a breach is, what a dispute is, what the end result is, would go into an agreement that's done. You know, the court will look at an application where things have gone sour. So it's very definitely something that can be taken to court. It's an application for a monetary value for the amount that you contributed. Sometimes people go for the value of the home now because they've maybe lived for 4 or 5 years with the child. But as I mentioned, it's something that you want to avoid. Court cases are expensive, and it's not the right thing to do. You know, as I say, court cases also take 2-3 years. So in that period of time, the parents who were elderly already are going to be even older. And if one doesn't know, do they have the funds to move on into an old age home or another home or something like that? So it can be a bit of a curse, if you want to call it that you know, that it's not a solution. And of course, like I mentioned, one must always take into account the fact that a divorce can cause havoc. You know, if there's going to be a split and the one child, the parent's child, is going to lose the house and that, there's a settlement reached and a payout, the poor parents are out on the road unexpectedly. Mm. So the best way to do it, though, is to make a proper agreement with an attorney in writing and to ensure that you have mediation incorporated into it. Like I said, and I repeat, and I always say, you know, it's never a waste to go and see an attorney. If you go to an attorney who's experienced and knows what he's talking about, he will put you on the right track. Legal advice is maybe people say legal advice is not cheap, but it's also not expensive. When you look at a dispute that may arise at a later stage and you've then got to go through a court case, a high court case could cost you I reckon a minimum of $80,000 to fight something like that. You lose it, but the other side's costs as well. You know, it shouldn't be such that elderly parents have to take their children to court and incur unnecessary expenses. You really, really need to have a look at that.
Yeah.
In the ladies, or I don't know if it's a male or female, the anonymous post that we had, they also mentioned the word life rights. Okay? So life rights on a granny flat are, yes, you can refer to it as life rights, but, you know, life rights is a more common situation with retirement units, let's put it to you that way. The latest throughout the world is that you get a developer who develops old age area, into little homes or into, a situation where you've got a whole lot of flats or you've got a whole lot of rooms and that type of thing. And then you buy in there. You come along and you buy into the unit for, say, $400,000, and you've got life rights there until you die. But with life rights as well, you've got to be careful because you've got to make sure that the retirement village that you're going into accommodates both Mr. and Mrs. So if you're a couple coming in, you must make sure that it covers both of you. It's a nice style of living. We've got plenty of them here in East London, the rear gardens and places like that. You don't own the land, but you own the life right to live there as long as you're still alive. You can live there for the rest of your life. The developer or the rear gardens, I think, is owned by a consortium. They retain their ownership. However, upon your death, the right reverts back to the developer who has the right to resell your unit. And the nicest thing it means is that what invariably happens is that they put a price onto it and then they utilize the money that you're paying to revamp the whole thing. So you get new covered, new carpets, into the home. Some of them are furnished, some of them are not. You bring your own furniture in. So, you know, a life right is in fact a contract entered into as a retiree where you purchase the right to live in the home in that village for the remainder of your life. However, you never become the absolute owner. You cannot raise funds on it. You just retain ownership until your death. And then, of course, as I mentioned, upon your death, the developer or the organization takes it back from you and revamps it and gets another life right contract.
And releases it or re-rents it or sells it.
So the last thing is that if you're looking for something like that for life rights, it's not limited to your children. Your life rights are also not the children because they can't guarantee you that the home that you really need to will never be sold. So with life rights, you're there for the rest of your life. You can't do that with your child. You can't call it life rights, although people misinterpret it and refer to it like that. We give our parents life rights. But what happens is that, in effect, you might be living with your kids and they decide they need a bigger home, they've got more kids, or they want to go into a smaller home and they sell their home and, oops, away you go with them. You know, if they haven't got place for you in the new home, there's no place. Unless, of course, you have that contract in place and you're able to sort it out. So if you're going to live with your children, be cautious. Life rights, yes, very nice because you get, you get a situation where you don't have to look after the place. It's looked after for you. There's a maintenance group. You've got security in these complexes and that type of thing. You're well looked after. You can plan ahead. As I mentioned, you've got to make sure that you're covering both of you that move into it. A life right can't be split. Of course, that means that, the first person to die doesn't receive any benefit or compensation from it. So if you're in a partnership, make sure you have provision for it, that that person that dies first can remain there, or if that person is going to move on, that they've adequately provided for. So, there's a very good chance that your loved one will enter into a new contract or that they will be able to remain in that particular unit where you are. But as I say, once again, make sure that you cover it correctly. That's what's there. Something as well called housing rights. It's not as easy just to evict somebody. So, if you're living with your kids and they want to eject you, you have the Extension of Security of Tenure Act that assists as well. But I'm not going to go into that in detail because it's a whole thing on eviction, person's right to live in the home and that type of thing. In other words, they will come to your rescue. It's people who, it's normally there for people that are underprivileged and live in places where they've been for years and years. So it doesn't really apply to the parents living in the backyard. But the circumstances in that, in other words, that you know, you've been there for a lengthy period of time, that you have a right to be there, that you don't cause damage and all that type of thing. So it is something that can be considered. And turning sharp enough, you will have a look at that ESTA Act, mm-hmm. and compare it to what the situation is if they're trying to get mm-hmm. you out of the home. And I'm pretty sure that it would prevent an urgent eviction right. as well. So right. what you've got there is people who live in a place, you know, they've protected tenants and that type of thing. And normally there, somebody who earns less than 5,000 rand in terms of their housing rights is the act. So, yeah, that's basically where we are with a wonderful question from a listener today.
Yeah. Well, it's actually interesting, Peter, and you know, just listening to all your the ins and outs of that situation, and I'm just thinking to myself, the horror of horrors, where you've got elderly parents and you're sitting in a court case dispute. I actually can't think of anything worse, but I know these things do happen quite often when there's money involved, and you possibly find, you know, siblings, maybe they've got different ideas about what should happen to mommy and daddy, or the in-laws for that matter, as you said, you know, all sorts of possible scenarios. But the end result from what you've said, I think, basically says just get some form of legal advice and something in writing to lay down the ground rules at least, and anything that might change thereafter you can just add in or take out.
Absolutely right. You know, sadly money is the root of all evil, as they say. So, you know, money can cause hassles and hardships and really, you know, sometimes you find that parents are excited, they're happy to go and live in a granny flat, they take their entire savings or pensions and put it into the home because they love their children, mm. they believe their children's love for them is there and that they're going to happily rest of their lives in a back granny flat or back little building that's been made for them. But when something goes wrong, big trouble brews, and you find yourself out on the street if you don't have a proper agreement. I mean, I've seen instances before where it's gone wrong, one that we mediated over and sorted and settled. We were able to build a wall between the flat that had been built, the bath and the home. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it ended in a bit of a stalemate, but I think that little bit of love for the parents still existed, and they said, okay, let's just build a wall, then they separate, and we separate. Mm. They do their thing, we do our thing. So, you know, a mediator can have a look at all those different things as well. A mediator, in this case, would probably be an attorney who's able to assess the position. And don't forget, a mediator makes suggestions. It's not a court order what a mediator did. Suggest it's a way of settling, it's a way of reaching an agreement. So mediation is very important to put into any agreement that you have regarding this magic topic today.
Right, and that's that. I think is an interesting, possibly if I may give advice, and my advice is not legal, but it backs onto what you've just said, and that would be that if you are finding yourself in a situation where there is a dispute of some sort, maybe go the mediation route, because it would probably be a lot quicker, a lot cheaper, and probably less stressful than having to stand up in court and explain, probably hang out the family's dirty washing in court. You know, I, once again, I'm thinking that it's, I can't think of a worse scenario that one would have to go through.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, after all, it's blood, and it's very difficult to do that. And unfortunately, you know, sometimes you get parents who believe they still have control over their children. Mm. Sometimes you get elderly kids who think that the parents have gone a little bit dilly and don't know where they are anymore, and they say the cause of the problem, so you can never really judge what's going to happen. So, as we mentioned in the beginning, be safe, consult with an attorney, get one of the 20 ways of getting it into writing. Mm. In writing, signed, sealed, with a solution of mediation.
Right.
That is my advice to all our listeners out there.
Makes sense, Peter. Thank you very, very much for that. And if people want to reach you or at Alam's attorneys, how do they go about it?
Well, they can go onto Facebook, just add an S to our surname, Alam's, A-L-L-A-M for Mary, S for Sugar, like us, and you'll see the topics on there. We fortunately lately you send it to us, not that it hasn't been available, always has been available. So week by week we're going to add a little summary onto there. Mm-hmm. Just to mention there as well, the road accident one, we have now developed a form which people can print and keep in their cubbyhole or their sun visor, whatever they want to do, which will be available on our site and on your site mm-hmm. later today, I think.
Yes.
And then, you know, other than that, they can get us at 6 Sansom Road, Vincent, London. Telephone number 043-7211-018. 6 Sansom Road is a little side street opposite the Vincent Park Centre where Pep Stores is on the corner.
Great. Peter, thank you very, very much. And, of course, this chat will be on our website later on today as well.
Great, Wayne.
Thanks for the chat. There we go.